following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. From the Georgia Southern Sports Network, powered by Learfield IMG College.
Wings up, Eagle Nation! Touchdown, Georgia Southern!
This is Inside Eagle Nation, your all-access look into Eagle athletics.
Taking a look through all the other action in Georgia Southern athletics this past week. A lot of road action. A lot of teams hitting the old I-16 out of town.
Getting on the steel horse and taking us to parts north, south, west, wherever. Can't really go too much farther east.
Now, let's return to the Learfield IMG College studios. Here are your hosts, Colin Lacey and Danny Reed.
That's a fact, Jack.
Welcome in, Eagle Nation, here to Inside Eagle Nation, getting into March Madness here in Statesboro, USA, as we get set on this week's edition of Inside Eagle Nation.
That's a fact, Jack.
You better believe it. Georgia Southern men's and women's basketball going to be making their way down to Pensacola this week, both making the 5 seed in the Eastern Division of the Sun Belt Conference. They'll be taking on the 4 seed for the women. It's Texas State. For the men, it is Arkansas State coming up on Friday. Women will tip at 11:30 Central, 12:30 Eastern. Men will tip at 5 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock Eastern. Right?
Mark it down. He got it.
I'm just making sure I'm right, because I didn't realize Pensacola was in Central.
Yeah, way over there on the Panhandle.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
You're talking Alabama, pretty much.
Well, good for JT.
What about Barry?
Well, Barry too, but JT's closer. As always, Inside Eagle Nation is presented by our good friends at Arcola Septic. Arcola Septic is your premier septic services provider to Bullock, Bryan, and adjoining counties, and a great family-owned business that's run by a pair of Georgia Southern alumni. Make sure to give them a call at 912-318-7939 or visit them online at arcolaseptic.com. For both commercial and residential customers, their more than 10 years of experience can help you out with pumping and servicing your septic system, drain field repairs, new system installation, and all of your septic needs. Remember to follow them on Facebook, Arcola Septic, yesterday's Meals on Wheels. And Keith Hamilton and crew will get you taken care of with Arcola Septic. A lot to get to on this week's edition of Inside Eagle Nation. I know we say that pretty much every week.
This week it's true.
Yeah, this week it's more true than most. Got Georgia Southern football schedule coming out. We'll get into that a little bit later on. But Georgia Southern men's golf was off this past weekend. They will head down to St. Simons Island for the Michigan State Collegiate at the Sea Island Golf Club. Odd to think that Michigan State is hosting a tournament at St. Simons, but I would assume the weather is not the best up at Michigan right now.
Yeah, East Lansing, probably not the best spot in early March to host a golf tournament.
So they'll get it going with Michigan State Collegiate coming up. And remember, we're just 2 weeks away from the Schenkel.
Yeah.
At Forest Heights, March 19th through the 21st, somebody was asking me the other day, when's the Schenkel coming up? Because that was one of the events that got canceled the week that everything got shut down because of COVID. The Schenkel was supposed to be going on that weekend
that
Georgia Southern Baseball was hosting Troy.
When we were on our way back from Atlanta with men's basketball, I was sitting behind SID Mark Janak on the bus, and he was on the phone communicating with Carter Collins and the rest of the administration about just that, because that's the time when not just teams were dropping out, but entire conferences were dropping out, and they were seeing if they had enough to even have the Schenkel, and then ultimately, as we know it, ended up going by the wayside. But that's been almost a year already. We're coming up on a year since the shutdown.
That's crazy. I'm still convinced that somebody... And Maurice Moses would be the one to do it, of course, because anything video Mo has to do.
Yeah.
Do a E60 documentary of March 11th, 12th, and 13th. Because the 11th was great.
Yeah.
Men's basketball defeated Georgia State up there for the second time in the year. Georgia Southern baseball was right here. Well, not right here, but across the parking lot.
It's a little small in here.
Yeah.
Bandbox in here.
Yeah, no. Ain't nobody else fitting in here, I can tell you that much. But baseball just knocked off Georgia to complete the 3-game series sweep. Everybody was excited. Jared Benko was announced that weekend as the director of athletics. It was a great time in Eagle athletics. And then the next day is when everything starts to get shut down. I know you and I were talking back and forth of what was going on with you guys, because I thought you were already making your way to New Orleans, and you probably would have if everything didn't start when it did.
Yeah, if we could do that and we could timestamp the individual events where it 8:45, this happened for basketball, for 8:33. This happened with baseball, and maybe some things were happening simultaneously while Austin Thompson was hitting a triple against Georgia. Maybe Ike Smith was skying for a dunk, or Quad Jackson was making a three up in Atlanta. And I think that either next week or the week after, we can get into it in some greater detail, because it will be a full year since the shutdown. But just to think how much things just stopped,
yeah,
and then how much stuff we didn't know where it was going to go. We didn't know about football, and now we're getting plans ready for the 2021 football season, which, I mean, somehow we've been able to make it through it, and we're about to hit conference play in baseball after this week.
I remember that Friday and Saturday was when Georgia Southern had their pro day for football.
Yeah, actually held it.
And everybody held it, and there were some teams that had already pulled their scouts off the road. There were some that the scouts were already down here, so figured may as well come to it. It was just a weird atmosphere because at that point, you didn't really know what was going to happen next. I mean, you knew that you were going to be shut down for a little while, but I remember sitting there with Aaron Soka, Brian Johnson, and Megan Lieben and trying to figure out what the next thing was going to happen. What was it going to look like the next 6 months? And it didn't come anywhere close to what we even thought at that point, but it happened.
And who knew that the Bears would fall in love with Kendall Vildor and the Bills would fall in love with Tyler Bass? And who knew that Tyler Bass would come within this close of playing in a Super Bowl?
And that's the crazy thing. You think about it, and I think we talked about it a little bit a couple of weeks ago when he was still playing in the playoffs. If the shutdown happens a week earlier and the pro day doesn't happen...
Yeah, I don't know.
Because Aaron has taken a couple of really good pictures, and he's posted them on social media, of the Bills scout sitting there pretty much working Tyler out.
Yeah.
And doing everything that Tyler was there to do. Does he get the shot with the Bills if that pro day doesn't happen? It's crazy to think what just a couple of days can change people's future, and not just Tyler's. I mean, I'm not saying that Tyler Bass made the Bills season. I think Josh Allen might have something to say about that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it would be the same if they didn't have Tyler.
It's proof that you always have to find the silver lining.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how bad it is. Doesn't matter how bad it seems. You've got to find the silver lining in everything.
Always crazy to think what could have, what would have, and all of those scenarios. But getting back to everything in Georgia Southern athletics, Georgia Southern men's tennis hosted ABAC at the Wallace Tennis Center and swept them in two matches, 5-2 in the first match, 4-0 in the second match. They moved to Macon on Sunday, taking on Mercer, and won 5-2 for their fifth straight win on the season. Up at Mercer, they would sweep all three courts in the doubles. Big win on court number one by Alexander Rompas and Pascal Wagemaker. But a heck of a stretch they've got going the last couple of weeks for men's tennis.
I worry about facilities. They're going to have to keep ordering nets because we keep ripping them up with all these wins.
I worry about facilities at tennis because whenever I came in, there was pretty much a yellow film on the tennis court.
Yep. The pollen has decided to visit, and it shows the first week of March.
Yeah, I'm not... Being somebody that drives a silver truck, I'm not real happy about it.
Well, you know my car's silver, too.
Well, now I drive a yellow truck.
The first time I really got to see what pollen was like when I was in Charleston, and I spent 7 years there, and you knew when it was coming. You didn't know exactly when it was going to be there, but you would park outside, go in work, go back out for lunch, and your car would look like a peep.
I've never thought of it looking like a peep.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
I don't remember pouring all this yellow powder on my car. Well, my car looked like a peep because it's kind of got the...
Well, yeah, I got you. Men's tennis has a busy weekend coming up. They host Davidson on Friday, 1 p.m. the first serve, and then continue at the Wallace Tennis Center on Saturday as they take on FAU at 10 a.m. And then on Sunday, they head up I-16 and I-75 to Hotlanta to take on the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets starting at 1 p.m. Georgia Southern... I wasn't ready for that one. Georgia Southern women's golf was off this past weekend. They look ahead to the UNF Intercollegiate in Jacksonville at the Golf Club and Country Club next Monday and Tuesday for women's golf and Emily Kufeld's bunch. Georgia Southern Rifle heads up to the SoCon Championships Saturday and Sunday up in Lexington, hosted by VMI. Again, that's an event that's hosted by Georgia Southern the last couple of years over the Shooting Sports Education Center. And when we had Coach Warman on with what turned into Inside Georgia Southern Athletics a couple of weeks ago, she was talking about the facilities over at the Shooting Sports Education Center, and she's saying the only ones that even come close to matching up is the military academies, which I think is one of the highest honors that you can have as a rifle team.
You think about what this program has done the last 4 or 5 years. You invest in it, look what happens.
Yeah. Crazy to think what happens. But they head up to the SoCon Championships this weekend up in Lexington. Women's tennis had the weekend postponed due to COVID-19. They're supposed to start conference play Saturday and Sunday. Saturday at Coastal, 10 a.m. the first serve, and then 10 a.m. on Sunday as well as they make their way up the mountain to Boone, North Carolina. Georgia Southern Volleyball, again, their spring portion of their season has come to a close, but a special night for Georgia Southern Volleyball tonight, Danny Reed, as over at the Rolling Monkey. If you haven't had ice cream, it's wonderful, and you know how I am with ice cream.
Been to the Rolling Monkey a few times.
But tonight, it's Georgia Southern Volleyball Night, so 20% of the proceeds from 5 o'clock until 9 o'clock tonight go towards Georgia Southern Volleyball and bettering their program. And just another thing kind of out of the box that Chad Willis and staff have done, and oh, by the way, they get some ice cream out of it.
I want Chad Willis to roll my ice cream. Because
something tells me now that you've said that, that's going to really come to fruition.
Okay, we saw a couple years ago where I believe it was Subway that had a promotion where coaches would go and spend an afternoon or a lunch hour making sandwiches.
Yeah.
I could see Chad. He looks like got the hair going. He could be an inventor, or he could be a concoctor or a developer of something. I could see him making the ice cream back there. I think I might have just started something.
Yeah, you might have. And now you're going to have everybody lining up at Rolling Monkey tonight saying, I want Coach Willis to do this.
Yeah. I mean, he's over there. Put the apron on. I don't exactly know if you've got to be certified or anything like
that. Frank Sulkowski did a story on the Rolling Monkey back during the shutdown with COVID.
During the Southern Roots segments.
Yeah, during the Southern Roots. And I went with him because at that point we had nothing else to do. And went over there with him, and apparently they train for a couple of weeks of getting the technique, I guess you call it, down of how to roll. But really good. Really good.
Had it a few times.
Again, tonight from 5 to 9, Georgia Southern Volleyball will get 20% of the proceeds. And you've got to make sure you say you're with Georgia Southern Volleyball in order for them to reap the benefit.
So they can serve.
Not one of your best.
No, it's early. It's early.
Mentioned it earlier, Georgia Southern football putting out the 2021 schedule. And I know this excites everybody out in Eagle Nation, but it'll start September the 4th of 2021 at Allen E. Paulson Stadium.
That much we knew.
We knew that one. Against Gardner-Webb, and Georgia Southern will hit the road down to Boca Raton Saturday, September the 11th. Arkansas will be the next opponent out in Fayetteville, September the 18th, and then a couple of weekends at home in Sunbelt Conference play Saturday, September the 25th against Louisiana, followed by Arkansas State on October the 2nd, then Georgia Southern, a little bit tough part of the schedule, Saturday, October the 9th at Troy, and then you turn around Thursday, October the 14th, just 5 days later, taking on South Alabama in Mobile, getting the first chance to see Hancock Whitney Stadium, the new facility on campus over at South Alabama. Then down the back half of the schedule, Georgia State will make their way to Paulson Stadium October the 30th. Saturday, November the 6th, Coastal Carolina will make their way to Paulson, get to see our buddy Joe Cashin. Saturday the 13th, Georgia Southern will head out to San Marcos to get Black's Barbecue, and then, oh, by the way, we'll play Texas State that Saturday. Brigham Young and BYU make their way to Paulson Stadium November the 20th. And then Saturday, November the 27th, wrap up the regular season with Appalachian State up in Boone. Two things with the schedule that I want to get out first.
I know where you're going to start with this, but go ahead.
The first one, the Sun Belt must not like Georgia Southern.
Sound like ULM a little bit.
Yeah, right. From the sheer fact, you make Georgia Southern go to Boone in November. End of November, mind you.
Thanksgiving weekend.
Right. When I don't think it's ever been good weather in Boone on November the 27th.
I don't know if there's enough layers for Russ.
Poor guy.
He had to wear the frog togs a couple of years ago whenever we had every weather imaginable. Well, it's going to be colder than that when we go up there for that one. Mm.
No, thanks.
But at least it's on a Saturday. I know a lot of Eagle fans are very happy that that game is not only back on a Saturday officially, not moved just because of COVID-19 when it was supposed to be on a Wednesday this past year, but that it's at the end of the season. You saw how that atmosphere was at Paulson this past year, where you were competing for second in the East, and even though it was in the middle of a pandemic, there was an electricity in that place.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're at about normal by the fall. You go up to Kid Brewer. I don't know how many people were going to be there. Probably most of them are going to be covered up and look like Eskimos. Maybe build some snowmen and igloos and all that. But
my guess is it's not going to be hot, hot, hot. Let's put it that way.
Oh, look at you.
I'm just going to take a shot at that one.
Even when the weather is cold, cold, cold.
I mean, we haven't...
You going to find it now?
No, I'm not. No. We've played this enough on this network.
Yeah, it's always backfired. We have.
Yeah, no kidding. But the second thing I want to bring up, that BYU game was scheduled a number of years ago.
Yes.
Before BYU was what BYU was last year.
Yes.
And so to have them coming into Paulson Stadium, that's pretty big. I know you've had top 25 teams visit Paulson Stadium before when it's Appalachian State or Louisiana, but a non-conference potentially top 25 team, and obviously you don't know what's going to happen by November 20th, but to have somebody that's at least in contention for the top 25, that's pretty big.
That's going to be the best non-conference opponent that's ever been to Paulson, to that point. Look, I know App came down here in 18, they were number 25, and that's all well and good, but the one thing we will miss is that BYU quarterback Zach Wilson is going to be a high pick in the draft, so we won't get to see him. But BYU is known for having maybe the best combined offensive and defensive line units in the country this year. We've already seen them come pretty far east, having to set up a trip in just a couple of days to play Coastal Carolina, a game that maybe cost them a shot at going to the college football playoff. I don't know if they would have gotten in as a group of five team, but at that point they were in the room. They were heavily in the discussion. That's one I'm really, really excited about. And then we get a chance to go back out to Provo a couple years later.
But the football schedule's out, so we know what it's going to be. We're going to have to update our countdown clock here in just a little bit. But
yeah, it's triple zeros right now.
Yeah, because we didn't have it till yesterday.
This is a tough schedule.
Yeah.
This is a very tough schedule. And, yeah, that swing of Troy on a Saturday there coming back and then going back out to Mobile for a Thursday, typically you'd get that Saturday game at home and then travel from there for Thursday, or if you're going on the road on Thursday, that game against Troy would have been at home, but that would mean you're playing Troy and Allen E. Paulson two straight years. You get 16 days to get ready for Georgia State, so the buildup of that game can be even more so than it has been the last couple of years. Of course, we already mentioned App at the end of the season, but you've got Louisiana and Ark State back-to-back. We know the Cajuns are going to be really good again. Levi Lewis announced that he's coming back for his final year, going to use that bonus year to play quarterback for Billy Napier. I expect Arkansas State to be a lot better this year. New coach in Butch Jones. South Alabama, new coach in Kane Womack. Texas State, I think, is on the uptick with Jake Spavital. They came here and almost won last year, and they were 2-10.
Yeah.
They were one of only two teams, being the other Georgia Southern, that played a full 12-game regular season, and they were the only one that didn't have an interruption. They played all 12 games. Nothing got moved, even though they didn't have a great record. That's a place that's going to give this conference trouble very, very soon. I've just got a feeling that Coach Spavital, he's going to start winning.
But Georgia Southern will get it going again September the 4th against Gardner-Webb inside Allen E. Paulson Stadium, or at least that's what we think right now.
The Running Bulldogs.
Give me a fact about Gardner-Webb.
It's in Boiling Springs, North Carolina.
Ooh.
Just over the North Carolina-South Carolina border.
Ooh.
And I think that's where... Do you know who Artis Gilmore is? You ever heard that name?
I've heard the name. Couldn't tell you why.
All right, he played in the NBA mostly for the Bulls.
Ah,
he's
yes.
one of the best centers in the 1970s.
Sure.
So he helped take Jacksonville to the Final Four. And that's the only Final Four that Jacksonville's ever been to. I want to say he started his career at Gardner-Webb.
Well, he did
before
now.
Transferring. It was either went from one to the other, but I think it was Gardner-Webb to Jacksonville. I'm not totally sure on that. But
beautiful segue into Georgia Southern basketball. Look at that. Didn't even plan it.
It just happens. You just got to go with it.
Georgia Southern women's basketball was up in Boone this weekend, and I didn't think it was going to be very pleasant at the end of February in Boone, but it wasn't bad. Rained a little bit on Friday, but it was in the 50s. I thought I took a wrong turn whenever I pulled into Boone and it said 57 on my car.
How's Harrison doing?
Harrison is phenomenal.
Okay.
Got to hang out with him a little bit and his girlfriend Sarah on Thursday before the games. But good to see Harrison. I don't get to see very many of our friends because most of them are with men's basketball. And if I go to their town, they're coming here.
You did luck out because he didn't travel with their men down here this weekend. He ended up calling the games remotely, and he saw an amazing game for them on Friday. But glad you got to see somebody. I feel like I'm just out there on an island until we get to baseball
season. I know. All I've got is the group text. I got to just hang on. I guess that's what Sours feels like with football.
Not that he doesn't hear that enough.
Yeah, right. But women's basketball falling to Appalachian State 77-66 on Friday, and then on Saturday fell 81-78, and it was a tough weekend for Georgia Southern going into it. You knew it because Friday night was the pink game for Appalachian State, which is always hits a little bit more at home in Boone with what Angel Elderkin has gone through. And then on senior night, you know it's going to be an emotional night no matter where you go when you're somebody's senior night. But talking to, and Harrison actually brought it up on Thursday, that it was a little bit more of a special senior night because this is the group that Angel Elderkin brought in whenever she was going through cancer. And so she was diagnosed back in 2016 with stage 3 endometrial cancer, for those that don't remember. And this was the group that, as she's going through all of that, at points didn't know what her coaching future really looked like, what she was going to be able to do for Appalachian State. But she never came off the floor. One of the hardest fighting people I've ever met. And this was the group that she brought in when she was having to go through everything. And they stayed there their entire 4 years and really stuck it out. And you could tell that it was a little bit more of a senior night than just a senior night, if that makes sense.
For Georgia Southern, that was going to, pardon the pun, but that was going to be even more of a mountain to climb to even get one of those.
Yeah. So Georgia Southern falls in both of the games up in Boone this past weekend. Laney Gosnell, a big part of that. The senior out of Demarest had a heck of a senior weekend. On Friday, had 18 points, 10 rebounds. Saturday, she ended up fouling out of the game with about 3 minutes left, but had 23 points and 9 rebounds. And just a great weekend from Laney Gosnell. We talked about her last week on the preview of she can score from anywhere on the floor. She can bang with it down low. She can step out, shoot the three, and she did all of it this weekend up in Boone. But Georgia Southern takes the fifth seed in the Sun Belt Eastern Division. Just like Georgia Southern men, they play the four on the western side. So it's Georgia Southern and Texas State coming up on Friday, 12:30. The tip-off Eastern Time, 11:30 Central Time.
I'm so proud.
Out in Pensacola from Hartzell Arena.
Yeah, folks, I'm so proud of him.
It's taken about 4 years, but we're fine.
Four?
Well, that's true. Like 26.
There you go.
But if Georgia Southern's able to win that game, they move on to the one seed in Troy. Taking a look through some of the other men's or women's basketball action for the Sun Belt. Again, Texas State, Georgia Southern will start it off from Pensacola State College in Hartzell Arena, 11:30 the tip-off, and then 11 a.m. the tip-off inside the Pensacola Bay Center. App State, who is trying to fight for that second spot in the Eastern Division, they ended up with the three. They will take on the sixth-seeded in the West, Louisiana Monroe. And that's a Monroe team that only had one win in Sun Belt play, but it was against Little Rock. Little Rock took the three in the West. They play the sixth seed Coastal Carolina, who finished up 0-13 on the season, which is one of the most mind-boggling things ever.
Well, that, and it doesn't sound right that Little Rock is the number three seed in the West.
No, it doesn't.
On the West side, it doesn't sound
The West
right.
really bothers me.
Well, now that we know it's out there.
Yeah, it really does. South Alabama took the four spot in the East. They came into this past weekend in the two spot in the Sun Belt Conference Eastern Division, but they take the four. They will take on the fifth-seeded Arkansas State team, and that's an Arkansas State team that started the year 10-1 and then got to conference play and kind of fell off a cliff.
Yeah, I did see that.
On the Georgia Southern side of the bracket, again, if Georgia Southern is able to defeat Texas State, they will take on Troy 11 a.m. inside the Pensacola Bay Center on Saturday. UTA took the two spot in the West. They're on the Georgia Southern side of the bracket as well. They will face the winner of App State and ULM. Then on the other side of the bracket, Georgia State took the two spot in the East. Louisiana took the one in the West. So Louisiana, the runner-up in the Sun Belt Conference overall. Again, the way that the Sun Belt Conference rather did the standings, quote unquote. Obviously, nobody from the East saw the West, vice versa. But you only crown one regular season champion for Georgia Southern for Sun Belt Conference women's. It was Troy. For the men's, Texas State took the regular season crown. But that's what the docket looks like for the Sun Belt Conference on the women's side.
All right, we've got this on the large screen. This is the time of the year where you're going to try to talk yourself into stuff because everybody doesn't want you to get to the tournament. 4-5, typically the best first round games because there's not a whole lot of difference between 4 and 5. There just isn't.
Right.
Haven't played Texas State this year, so flip the coin, see what happens. Then you get Troy in the quarters, and we've talked about this a bunch. Georgia Southern has played Troy tough. Ever since Shanda Rigby has been there, ever since Georgia Southern has come into the league, I know that Troy has had a lot of success against the Eagles, broke that long losing streak earlier this year, but all of those games have been good.
Just one of two teams this year to knock off Troy?
Then you're in the semis, and then at that point, it's roll the ball out and see what happens. Yeah. That's what you got to try to talk yourself into. And I'm going to try to do it on the men's side as well, which we'll get to in a moment. But the way that that sets up, and then your side of the bracket, you could get a rematch against Appalachian State. Maybe you're seeing an Arlington team for the first time in the semifinals, if it gets to that point. But it's fun to forecast how the pieces are going to move and what it could be by the time that you maybe get to Sunday. Because the tournament championship is on Monday on both sides this year. This is a Friday through Monday deal. And then we won't find out until Selection Sunday where the seeds are until the next Sunday. Usually it's that day that we find out, but we're a week earlier this year.
So again, the first round starts Friday, the quarterfinals on Saturday, semis on Sunday, and then championship Monday. That'll be a 1 p.m. tip-off on ESPNU inside the Pensacola Bay Center for the women's side. For the men, Georgia Southern men hosted Appalachian State this weekend on Friday, fell in double overtime, 84-78. You alluded to it a little bit earlier for Harrison getting to call a heck of a game if you're an Appalachian State Mountaineer.
Yeah.
But Georgia Southern at one point, a 22-point lead, but falling 84-78 in double OT.
Unfortunately, it's a microcosm for a lot of the season. Mark Janak and I went back over a couple things, and the Eagles have played 25 games this year. 16 times they've had at least a 10-point lead.
Wow.
And they've won 11 of those games, but they've also lost 5 of them. And when you're up 22 points with 15 minutes left, I'm not saying that you're running into the locker room halfway to pop a shower and go and rest and get ready for the next day, but you're probably thinking you're okay. But App stuck with it. They started knocking down threes at one point. They made 8 shots in a row. Georgia Southern had some fits with turnovers. Eventually it goes to a second overtime, and you still felt okay about the Eagles' chances, but then Justin Forrest, who his numbers are a little bit down this year, but I think he's still one of the more talented scorers in this league. He took over in double overtime, and the Eagles just didn't have enough firepower. And it's one of the tougher losses I've seen since I've been here. But the luxury of the schedule this year, the next afternoon, whether you came back from 22 down or you blew that 22-point lead, you do it the next day, you have a chance to make it right. And in that instance, it was senior day for the Eagles as they honored Jacob Sowers, Ado Umanami, Zach Bryant, and Grant Weatherford. They've all got the chance to come back for the next year if they want, but potentially the last time they do it at Hanner.
It's kind of like we talk about with baseball. You fall on Friday, you get to come back less than 24 hours later and try it again. But on Saturday, was presented by Belfour and got the victory 65-57 over Appalachian State to wrap up the regular season. Elijah McCadden had 18 points, but you mentioned senior night. We got to talk to Ado Umanami last night on Inside Georgia Southern Basketball. Always one of the best interviews we do, whether it's a post-game interview after a game like a Carver where he scores his first career points and he was wondering why we were talking to him. But he's somebody special, and I know this senior group is a group that head coach Brian Berg, his first senior night he's experienced as a D1 coach, and it was something special for him as well.
And going through a senior night as a first-time head coach, you get the framed photo, you get the jersey, you get the experience to meet the family, but they can't come on court because of COVID-19 protocols, so they try to take the picture as close to the opposing railing as they could with the families leaning over if they were there that day. He mentioned it was a little bit surreal last night when we talked to him on Inside Georgia Southern Basketball. You also, if you're a head coach, you probably want to convince yourself that those guys are going to use that extra year so you don't have to watch them fly away after only having them for a few months. In the specific case of Ado, though, he never understands why we want to talk to him so much, and he doesn't understand why he garners as much respect as he does from not just the basketball team, but from every athlete on this campus, and that's what makes him even better. He just does his job. He knows his role. He is who he is. And whatever he chooses to do, I know he really wants to get into coaching. Whatever he ends up getting into, you're going to hear a lot from him because I think he's destined for stardom. I think he's going to be so awesome, whatever he does.
He's one of those guys, and Coach Berg said that he didn't want Ado using the term walk-on last night, but he's somebody that's not on scholarship for Georgia Southern, and a lot of times you see walk-ons come in, do practice, run their scout team, do what they're supposed to do at practice, and then you see him during games on the bench and cheering everybody on. But Ado, if you just saw how much he's in the gym, taking shots, working with different assistant coaches, you would think he was the top-line guy as much as he does in the gym. And he said it last night. He knows that he's not going to get the chance to play 9 times out of 10. But as much work as he puts in, he may be the most prepared walk-on in the country.
The team has a corkboard with a spot for every player, and there's a picture of every coach on these little paper cutouts, and it designates how much film a player watches each day. You can see what player has watched film with what coach on every day because they bring it out to courtside so they can track everybody and they can show everybody else where they're at it relative to their teammates. You take a look at Ado's line every week, and it is full. Every coach, almost every day. If there's something to know about who Georgia Southern is playing, he's going to know it. Because as someone who's mostly on the bench, he can see film, but he can see it live.
Yeah.
And if he's prepared from a bench standpoint, it's almost as if you have another coach. So he's preparing himself for his future by doing it now. If he can't contribute on the court, it's the ability to see something that they would have worked on in practice and be prepared because they can respond a certain way.
He's going to be somebody that you may not hear in the Sun Belt Conference Tournament, but he is going to be an integral part if Georgia Southern's able to make a run.
And I think about Jacob Sowers. He was a former manager. He's been on the team the last couple of years. He had that and one at the beginning of the Florida National game to start the season. Got the bench all crazy. There was a loud cheer. He had a couple threes against Carver in the matchup down in Miami. And then the two guys that have seen considerable action and Zach Bryant, who's still one of the most explosive, if not the most explosive player I've ever watched for Georgia Southern, and Grant just does everything that doesn't show up on a box score. He'll give you some stats here and there, and I still think he's going to make his first three of the year once we get down to Pensacola. But the amount of leadership he has provided this team, diving on the floor, taking charges, as smart as he is to give up a foul or request a review, he seems to be just so in tune with this game and what this staff needs. He has been a perfect addition to this team. It was all put together on social media and on Zoom and on FaceTime. But the fact that he was able to recognize his role, and I hope he comes back because I don't know if I've ever heard of a seventh-year senior. We give Matt Anderson enough guff for being a sixth-year catcher on the Georgia Southern baseball team. But if Grant could be a seventh-year senior, that would be worthy of somebody writing a story about it or us doing a feature about it or something.
If he comes back for his seventh year, we need to start a new podcast for just him and Matt and call it In the Rocking Chair.
At that point, he would be available for pension. I think in Major League Baseball, you need to play for 10 years. Yeah. And so Grant will be almost there if he came back for 7. But I love those guys, and I hope that this week is very special for them. We'll get to the bracket, but I hope that they can realize their dreams.
Talked about it last week, how because of the split of Georgia Southern and Appalachian State this weekend, the Eagles take the 5 seed in the Sun Belt Conference Tournament. They face the 4 seed from the West in Arkansas State, so you'll get to see our buddy Matt Stoles. And being able to play a Arkansas State team that you were talking last night, it's almost been a calendar year since you've seen the Red Wolves.
It was senior day last year, and that was the only time that Georgia Southern and Arkansas State played last year. The year before, it was March 2019, the only time that the Eagles and the Red Wolves played. Haven't been to Jonesboro for men's basketball in more than 3 years, just because of the way the schedule worked out. Have not been to the Convo for more than 3 years. So it figures that we match up with Arkansas State in Pensacola for round one of the tournament. They had a chance to finish as high as, I think, 2nd in the West. And then once they lost at the buzzer to UT Arlington in game one, the loser of that game was going to be the 4, the winner was going to be the 3. Ark State had a lead late, but Arlington scored the last 9 points that dropped them to the 4 seed. And this is what you're talking about in regards of talking yourself into something. 4 versus 5, flip the coin, like we mentioned with the women in Texas State, and then waiting in the quarterfinals on that side of the bracket is the game that Georgia Southern did not get. Georgia State, who won the East by winning percentage. Not that they played enough games, but they needed to take two from South this weekend down in Mobile. They got both of them, and by winning percentage, they end up as the number one seed in the East. Southern not stayed in the quarters after the heartbreak from 3 years ago in the semis. And then on that side of the bracket as well, you've got South and ULM. As South could have been in a bye situation with that short rotation, would have favored them a lot more. But I think that makes their road a lot more difficult. They would face the winner of that game between them and ULM faces the two seed in the West, Louisiana. And the winner of that goes on to the semifinals. You're trying to talk yourself into something here. There, you could see a path. You could see it happening, but you've got to take care of that first game on Friday.
On the other side of the bracket, UT Arlington took the three spot in the West. They faced Troy on Friday in the sixth spot.
Because, of course, Scott Cross's former team against Scott Cross's current team. It just had to work out that way. So Josh Sowers is pins and needles.
Josh Sowers may do six pregame interviews.
Okay, he sends me a message last night, asked me, so what do you have on Troy? And I said, dude, you know the code. What am I going to tell you?
Then the four seed Appalachian State faces the five from the West in Little Rock. On the other side of the bracket, Coastal Carolina took the second spot in the East and the one seed in the West. The conference champion was Texas State. And so it's a busy weekend down in Pensacola. You've got game after game after game at two different sites. Again, Hartzell Arena in the on the campus of Pensacola State, and then you've got the Pensacola Bay Center, which is normally a hockey arena, but they've made it into a basketball arena. So it'll be pretty interesting coming up this weekend.
The way that that worked out, we mentioned our side, but on the other side, I think you've got the two best teams in the league matching up in Coastal and Texas State, so one you would think conceivably knocks the other out, but I love this month. I love March. I've always loved March ever since I was little. March Madness, there's nothing quite like it because everybody literally has a chance to go all the way and win a national championship. And that road, that third season, begins in just a couple days down there.
We will dive into everything else Georgia Southern Athletics. Well, I say everything else. We've pretty much only left baseball and softball. But in our final segment, we will hit the diamond. There you go. Good form.
We'll hop in the circle. We'll be designated players.
I don't think you and I will be designated players that much.
I did a little softball. I just remember that.
But we will dive into Georgia Southern softball and baseball coming up in our final segment. But first, Roger Inman with a special story about a very special person to Eagle Nation.
Time now for Eagle Tales with Danny Reed and Roger Inman.
Roger, we know that the name Alani Paulson has been on Georgia Southern's football stadium since it opened in 1984, but did you ever meet Alani Paulson?
Oh, absolutely. I'd go out in the parking lot when I knew he was bringing his helicopter over and paint a big old H out there so his pilot would know where to land it. Oh, yeah. Now, did I go a hug? You know, was that close to Alan Paulson? No. But, yeah, Mr. Paulson was a great guy when he, you know, came in here, and he didn't come often. But he was always a class act. You know, in his day, one of the people that doesn't get a whole lot of recognition is a guy named Bo Ginn. Bo Ginn was one of our state senators from Millen, Georgia, which obviously those two did a lot of financing with Gulfstream Aerospace and the federal government. But Bo Ginn was one of the biggest reasons that we probably got to Alan Paulson. Bo's son, Brian, was one of my football equipment managers for a few years. And I assume he's still trying to hustle legislators in the Atlanta area. He was a good politician, both Bo and his son. When you drive up the roads toward Millen, you can go by the Bo Ginn International Airport and Fishery.
The Bo Ginn International Airport and Fishery. It's one of the best things Roger has ever said.
Yeah, that's a pretty long list, too.
But appreciate Roger and a special story of him marking the spot for Alani Paulson's helicopter.
Yeah, I don't know what a helicopter exactly is, but I'm going to find out. I'm going to start calling it that from now on.
And I'm also going to guarantee you, if that helicopter would have broken down, Roger could have fixed it.
If you've ever been in the Gene Bishop Fieldhouse, there's a lot of pictures. There's a lot of commemorative memorabilia with the Hall of Fame. There's also the two checks that Alani Paulson wrote to Georgia Southern to help give us what we have right now.
Yeah, and I started thinking about it one day. How are those checks there? Because at that point, you didn't have mobile deposit. So you couldn't have taken a picture of it with your phone and deposited it that way. You had to deposit it in the bank.
Okay, you've seen the older style checkbooks.
Right.
The three checks.
Yeah.
You can get a copy of that.
Oh, okay. That's true. You can develop
that. You can develop a copy of that. And for cases like this where you can preserve a little bit of history, and we know what kind of history the Georgia Southern football has developed, and we've been very lucky that Roger can share stuff like that. So that's a connection we have.
It is.
Because we just don't have a whole lot of them anymore.
Getting into the diamond for Georgia Southern baseball and softball, we start with Kim Dean's squad as they got swept this past weekend by North Florida 5-4 in 9 innings on Friday. Saturday, it was a doubleheader, fell 6-5 and 3-2 in their games respectively. They look ahead to the Eagle Round Robin, hoping to host their first couple of games at Eagle Field. On Friday, it starts with a doubleheader at 1 o'clock against Winthrop. Saturday, the Winthrop Eagles again at 11 a.m., Saturday, the College of Charleston Cougars will make their way down at 2:30, and then 1:30, the first pitch on Sunday against CFC as well. But
we just saw them. They were having practice while we were over at Patriots Point the other day for baseball.
We did. We didn't stop and scout, but
no scout. Could have, because that press box is entirely self-contained where it overlooks all of their athletic facilities at the complex.
Peek out the porthole and look to the right.
We had a lot to keep our minds on baseball with all the runs and all the hits.
Yeah, we did. But a tough start to the season, but Kim Dean and company going to get everything rolling, hopefully this weekend against the Eagle Round Robin, and get to have some softball in Statesboro. Hadn't been able to say that for a while, but now get to see the yellow ball in action. You going to make your way over? Well, you'll be in Pensacola. Never mind.
Be there in spirit, Colin.
Oh, never mind.
Be there in spirit.
That was a dumb question.
No, there's no such thing.
Oh, I think there is.
There's no such thing.
For all the questions that we've asked and heard, I'm pretty sure there is. For Georgia Southern baseball, a tough weekend against East Carolina, again coming in number 22 in the country. Fell 6-4 on Friday, got the victory 10-7 on Saturday, and then fell 9-2 on Sunday. But you and I talked about it on the Ford Clubhouse Report on Sunday after that game that, yes, Georgia Southern's record isn't where they want it to be, but at the end of the day, six of your first seven games are against top 25 opponents. And to say outside of Sunday, you were in right there every single one.
Every game.
And you could argue that you could have won Friday. Coach Hinnon talked about it all weekend long, how Georgia Southern did a lot to beat Georgia Southern on Friday against East Carolina. Not taking anything away from the Pirates, obviously number 22 in the country for a reason. But you think of both or all three of the games against Tennessee. You were right there, had the tying or go-ahead run on base at different times in the ball game, and being able to be right there against top 25 teams, would you have liked to have seen a couple of more wins come out of it? Absolutely. But to say you're right there with the upper echelon teams in this country, not this conference, but this country, I think really speaks volumes to Georgia Southern.
I'll put it this way, and maybe some wouldn't have thought about it like this. Georgia Southern doesn't need to be a 40-win team right now.
No.
Because you're not going to be right now. You don't need to be 7-0 right now. Would it be nice for us to talk about, would Georgia Southern be ranked right now with six ranked wins, 7-0? Yeah. But what difference does it make? What difference does it make if this team is a ranked team on March the 2nd? It doesn't matter.
And you're
it does
gonna,
not matter.
And you're going to get more opportunities, because I'm going to venture to guess when Georgia Southern goes out to Oklahoma later on this year that the Sooners are probably going to be ranked if they continue what they've been able to do early parts of this season.
You're going to play a Georgia Tech team. You're going to play Clemson. You're going to play Georgia two times.
You're also going to play a Coastal Carolina, Louisiana in conference, which Louisiana's hot out of the gate so far.
South Alabama's probably going to be sniffing that. We know Ethan Wilson's one of the top players in the country. There's going to be more than enough opportunities for this team to prove itself. And, yeah, you would have liked to have seen a couple wins over Tennessee. Sure, we would have loved it. It would have given us some great moments, but it was still a great series. The East Carolina series, great series. You got a top 25 win, something a lot of people will never even get close to this year. There's a lot of ball left.
And I'll tell you, yes, Tennessee came in ranked number 16 in the country, and East Carolina came in number 22, and you can argue what Power 5, not Power 5 looks like. East Carolina is a team that you're not necessarily going to think is a top 25 team when you just see East Carolina on the schedule, I would venture to put East Carolina ahead of Tennessee. One, for the way that they play the game. Cliff Godwin has that program really playing the game the right way outside of the wristbands that we talked about, but that's a team. That's a team that plays the game the right way. Seeing them on Sunday live, as I was down in the third base dugout, one of the things that I was thinking about, they remind me a lot of the Kansas City Royals a couple of years ago when everybody else in the playoffs was trying to rely on just hitting the ball 500 feet and striking out every other at bat.
Tennessee.
Right. Bingo. And everybody was the, I'm going to hit the ball 700 feet and then flip my bat and all of that. But Kansas City just comes in, okay, I'm going to single to left, bunt him over, steal third, and then a sacrifice fly is going to get him in.
There's my run.
At the end of the day, it's 1-0. And so they play that style of baseball, which I, again, everybody knows that that's the way I would do it and the way I love it. But it's not home run or bust. They can play the game of baseball, not play the game of home run derby.
And then even on Sunday when the conditions were more conducive to the long ball with the wind blowing straight out, they hit three home runs. Connor Norby started the game with a bomb to left center. That was a tank
to
left center field. Then Zach Agnos hits one off the batter's eye. Seth Cadell in the ninth inning hits another long one to left center field. So they proved that they could slug just as much as they can manufacture runs. They pitched well. How good was Carson Wisenhunt on Sunday? Goodness.
Yeah.
6 2/3, no runs, 11 strikeouts. All those were career highs. And then defensively, which gets overshadowed, they were the number one defensive team in the country last year before the shutdown.
Yeah.
Number one in the nation in fielding percentage. And that's how you're going to win a lot of your games. Not by scoring 30 runs, but when it comes down to it, a lot of these games are going to be 2-3-run games. How do you win? You play defense. You've got to be able to make plays. The routine plays, because those are the ones that are going to be made more often than not.
Next up on the docket for Georgia Southern Wednesday, the Eagles will head down to Harmon Stadium in Jacksonville to take on the North Florida Ospreys.
Have fun.
Yeah. Coach Hinnon talked about it on postgame on Sunday, how it's a place that Georgia Southern hasn't necessarily been too fond of the last couple of years. And
have not played well there.
And the Georgia Southern Sports Network has not been fond of Harmon Stadium either. The last four times that we've been there.
I'm going to say they're not fond of us. We're not necessarily. I'm going to switch that around.
Yeah, that's accurate as well. But the last 4 years we've been there at 10 o'clock on the nose. The internet cuts out. I've also been told because of COVID concerns, we are on the roof at Harmon Stadium. So Aaron Soko will be, and I will be bringing you that one from the roof of Harmon Stadium. And we will let you know how the conditions are.
I've only been there once, and that was in 2016. It's the last time we played North Florida on the road. It's a pretty tight press box. It does have some length to it.
Didn't Draper have to sit behind you?
He did. There's not enough room in there to go side by side because of the way that their windows open. It kind of blocks your view because when the windows stack, you can't see through them. So he had to sit on a bench behind me. And I think this may have been the first and only time I've taken a selfie, because if I would have tried to take a normal picture, it just wouldn't have worked. So I'm sitting at the table, and while he's on the broadcast with me, I can't see him, so I can't tell what he wants to talk. So I'm just relying on, all right, I'm going to stop talking, and I hope that he starts talking. That wasn't a good day. I think Georgia Southern, Ryan Cleveland homered that day, but then Eagles ended up losing 13-4, I think. But the next day, Rodney Hinnon picks up his 600th win.
How about that? Then this weekend, Georgia Southern will welcome in the Tigers of Towson Friday through Sunday. This is a Towson team that has really struggled so far on the year. They'll come in 1-6 on the season. Were swept at Western Carolina in the four-game series to open up the year, then fell in 2 out of 3 at Winthrop. And it's a team that has struggled really on both sides of the ball. Only hitting about .180 with 24 runs in 7 games so far. On the pitching side, their staff ERA above a 6 ERA, giving up 9 home runs in 7 games so far this year. They're supposed to play Navy tomorrow, but that one was already postponed. They spend their first 14 games on the road. And we talk about it a lot, how being just a team in the South and the Southeast is really conducive to what Georgia Southern's able to do, getting a lot of these teams into J.I. Clements. But Towson, of course, up in Maryland, but 14 games on the road. They won't have their first home game until March 19th against UMass.
And that's not atypical. That's pretty normal.
I can't imagine having your first 14, was supposed to be your first 15 before Navy was canceled, on the road.
Well, flip it around. Let's say that instead of being in Southeast Georgia, we're up in Northeastern New York.
Oh, no. I understand.
If we're St. John's or someone like that, you're going to have to be on the road. It's just the nature of the weather. You got to be.
Yeah, no, I get it. I understand why. And I got to imagine that hurts recruiting, too.
Think about starting last season against Ball State. It was supposed to be a four-game series to open the season at J.I. Clements. It turned into three because of a rain postponement. But they were going to be on the road for three straight weeks.
Oh.
I can't remember exactly how many games they were supposed to play, and then the shutdown, of course, altered everyone's lives. But they were going to be on the road for three consecutive weeks. Just the norm.
No, thank you.
And even though we've seen a Michigan team make the College World Series, get all the way to the national championship a couple of years ago, that's why Big Ten baseball has suffered. Yep. Wisconsin doesn't even play baseball. It's just such a challenging thing when you know that your first probably month and a half, 2 months, you're not going to be able to host a game unless you get extremely lucky. Doesn't mean you can't get talent there. It's just going to be tough to play where you want to play.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of teams from northern states. And, I mean, you think of Oregon State, Washington, time and time again. But outside of that, there's Ohio State a little bit. But most of the time, it's a Southeastern team, not necessarily Southeastern Conference, but a team in the Southeast. A lot of Texas schools, a lot of Californias.
And not necessarily the conference name, but the literal Sun Belt.
Right.
I mean, there's Rust Belt, there's the Sun Belt. That's where predominantly your baseball is the best because it just makes the most sense. That doesn't mean those teams aren't capable, but...
Good question. Daryl Lynn asking, didn't Valparaiso have a long road trip too?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly how many games that one was, but it was...
Yeah.
It was knocking on the door of 3 weeks if it wasn't.
And Radford may have as well. I can't remember just off the top, but when you're taking teams from those parts, it is interesting sometimes to look at what they have to do schedule-wise. Maybe you get a midweek game if you're lucky enough against... Like for Radford, you can play Virginia Tech. That's 15 minutes down the road. It's still on the road, but at least you're in your area, so maybe you don't feel terribly like you're having to pack up a bus or hop on a plane and go somewhere.
But this week for Georgia Southern, four games. It starts on Wednesday at North Florida. Aaron Soka and I will have that one for you on the Georgia Southern Sports Network. And then Friday through Sunday, hopefully all of those are in it only. That would mean Georgia Southern men's basketball making a run down in Pensacola.
The key to packing for a conference tournament, always make sure you have at least enough clothes to be there the whole time.
Yes.
Doesn't matter if you're this only there for one day.
Yeah, this isn't a two shirts and go type week.
Because twice when I've had to do a baseball tournament, been there the entire week. 2013 when I was with the Citadel doing baseball, and then 2016 here doing baseball down in San Marcos.
Well, 2017 we were there the whole week, but
well, regardless, because we were here. The tournament was here. I'll take that. I will take the weather.
Yeah.
But I'll take that. That's another one we could do a 30 for 30 on, or a E60 or whatever, the 2017 tournament.
Because
I know how involved you were with the operations, missing the first 2 days because of weather, and then, you know, our unique setup in the baseball press box about trying to provide everybody a crowd mic and making it a workable situation, having to put certain people in certain booths. That would be a fun one to talk about.
Yeah, that it's fun to look back on it now.
Oh, going through it,
in the moment, the only one that I remember that I look back and laugh on the hardest. Now, there was a lot of meetings that took place that week of trying to figure out what in the world was going to happen and what was going to go on. But the thing that I remember the most, and I don't know why, because it's not anything of any kind of importance, because the ESPN Plus broadcast took over what is usually our booth that has the only window
That opens.
That opens at J.I. Clements.
Yeah.
We were relegated to the visiting radio booth and what is normally the ESPN Plus booth that don't have windows that open. Well, we had a game that started at 9 a.m. Georgia Southern wasn't in it, but having to take care of the guys that were coming in to call it, the windows had so much condensation on it, you couldn't see. So I remember, I can't remember if it was Kyle or Keith or who it was with the conference, was down on the field as I took a mop, leaned out the VIP booth, and was trying to mop off the window so you could see out of it. And I think we had hit a state of delusion by that point, but I just remember, I didn't realize they were on the field, but somebody cracking up laughing on the field at me, leaning out the VIP booth, trying to almost squeegee off the window.
All right, we deal with this at Alney Paulson when condensation builds up on the windows at football, but we can
open those.
We can open those, and we can wipe if we need to, but mostly just get those open and take care of that. When you can't open them and they're as high up off the ground as they are, and there's not really a ladder that you're just going to reach out and stick on the press box.
There's not a ladder I'm going to do it with, well, I can tell you that
much.
That's
also true. So that would make a good story. Yeah, I can picture you doing that.
That whole week was...
I was not there for that, but I...
That whole week was a blur. Oh, boy. But we got through it. What is it you always say? You got to get through it to get to it?
Got to get through it to get to it.
Well, we did.
And I know we're only 7 games into this season, but... The way that we're going right now, whenever you get a chance to do it, try to make it as fun as possible. You may not win, you may not, but we got to find a way to do what we're supposed to do.
It's going to be a busy weekend across the network. Again, Dandy will be on the network as long as he can be. As far as men's basketball is concerned, as they keep winning, he'll keep being on the network.
My own filibuster. Yay. Yes.
And then Georgia Southern Baseball will be on the air on Wednesday, and then Friday through Sunday, hopefully internet only, because that means Georgia Southern men's basketball keeps on winning down in Pensacola. It's going to be a fun week for Georgia Southern athletics all around, men's and women's basketball in the Sun Belt Conference Tournament, and keep on rolling with everything else around Georgia Southern athletics. Until this weekend, for the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, this is Colin Lacey saying so long, everybody.
Been listening to Inside Eagle Nation, powered by Learfield, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.